turn to the book of Exodus, see the second command is recorded in verses 4 through verse 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Again, that we're not to make anything to represent God, Christ, angels, anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. That is, if someone else has these things, you are not to bow to them, no matter how many other people are bowing to them. You are not to participate in that, nor serve them. So you see, there's a progression. There's the making of the image. There's the bowing to the image. And there's the serving the image. The reason, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It is said there that if you make these images, you bow to them, you serve them, it shows a hatred for the Lord. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We've seen the prohibitions of this command. And again, it goes further than most people think. We've seen that any so-called image of God, of course, cannot possibly represent the Lord. The only image acceptable to God is Jesus Christ. And he has been rejected of men. Man will accept a statue, which is a false representation, and they will reject the very image of God, Jesus Christ. We see also prohibited in this is the making of any representation of that which is heavenly. Most people only take it to the length of making an image of God. But it covers making any that which represents the spiritual world. We see also prohibited in this command is the worshiping of God by or through human sight. God is the object of worship. Here we have the manner of worship. And God is not to be worshipped by sight. Man is always trying to improve worship by adding his touch. You've destroyed it. Every time. Every time. Again, Exodus 20:25, no hewn stone. As soon as you put your tool upon it, ruined. It's unacceptable to God. The requirements of this command, as we began to look at last week, is a God and God alone is to be worshipped. Again, the words, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them," makes the opposite true, which is, "Thou shalt bow down to me." And there is no spiritual worship if there is not a bowing down to God. And I'm not necessarily speaking physically, bowing down. But there must be a bowing down to the Lord. So, worship is spiritual. It is 100% spiritual. Without the aid of images, well, they help us. No, they don't. Without the aid of statues, without the aid of that which is visible, we are not to use visible images to arouse us to pray, to arouse us to worship. The one and only object of worship is God. Again, as we said last week, Jesus declared in John 4:23, he said, "The true worshipers," which immediately implies that there are worshipers that are false, "the true worshipers shall worship the Father." That is, they have an object of worship, and that is the Father. And he goes on to say, "The Father seeketh such." The such goes back to true worshipers. The Father seeketh true worshipers to worship him. The Lord is not interested in worship that is false. He's not interested. He's not interested in our leftovers. In fact, he's offended. Again, the Old Testament makes this very, very plain. In John 4, verse 24, he says, "God, which is the object of worship, is a spirit." Is a spirit. And he is invisible. You cannot make a representation of that which is invisible because you don't know what it looks like. God is spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, again, he's the object, they that worship him must, that's imperative, worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, it requires a spiritual nature. Lost man cannot worship God. It's not possible. Because God must be worshipped in spirit. And he must be worshipped in truth. That is, he must be worshipped in accord with his rules of worship. Well, as long as we're sincere, it doesn't matter. Prove that by the scriptures. You can't do it. In fact, people have good intent, and I don't question people who bow down to statues. I mean, I have no doubt that they have good intentions, and they really believe that they're doing something. But good intentions will not save your soul, and good intentions will not make worship spiritual. So true worship must be spiritual, must be in truth. It must proceed from a spiritual nature. Therefore, we must always realize the danger of the flesh intruding into our worship. Because once that happens, true worship has ceased. We all, every Sunday, Wednesday, we come into this building. We that are saved, we come with two natures. A spiritual nature that can worship God. And we come with a fleshly nature that cannot worship God. And that fleshly nature, you should, before you come, have that fleshly nature in control. But that being said, that fleshly nature is still going to rise up and try to intrude into worship. It can be a thought, what I'm going to do at 12:15 today. Flesh has entered. Flesh has entered. Worship has been polluted. It can be anything. But anything fleshly pollutes worship. True worship, of course, is done by the influence and with the assistance and the aid of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always, without exception, leads according to the dictates of His Word, and that's where we have truth. Spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to bring flesh into the worship. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to keep out that which is carnal, that which is fleshly. Spiritual and true worship is done with singleness of heart. That is, all thoughts must be upon the Lord. Again, we've preached a lengthy series on worship not too long ago. But it's pitiful today what God's people call worship. It offends me. More importantly, it offends God. And it takes every fiber of my being not to call people out when I'm preaching and they're allowing their kids to play in church and they're allowing their kids to entertain them during church. That's not worship. That's not worship. That is sitting in a pew, but it is not worship. So there has to be singleness of heart. That means all thoughts are upon God. You say that's impossible. No, it isn't. It's very difficult. And it is a constant struggle. It is a constant battle. But in worship, all thoughts are upon the Lord. Now, if you have an image, a statue, or whatever, all thoughts are not upon God. Some of your thoughts are upon that image. In fact, most of them are upon that image. When our thoughts run away from God, that's not worship. Spiritual and true worship is done with a penetrating awareness of God's person and God's presence. There is an awareness of God's presence. You can have a church building filled with people, and perhaps no one but one person feels the presence of God. That's the one that's worshiping. You have to feel the presence of God. In order to do that, you have to be in a condition. You have to be in a condition to worship. Isn't it amazing that in the same building, in the same service, one will go away and say, "I got absolutely nothing out of that. I did not feel the presence of God whatsoever." And another one will say, "Oh, it's like the Lord was sitting right next to me." What's the difference? It's the spirit in which we come. So again, there has to be a penetrating awareness. There has to be a coming to the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Worship does not result in drawing away from God. Worship always results in coming to God. And as we've said, true worship, of course, must be in accord with the Word of God. Also, not only does this command require worship, it also requires service to God. In verse 5, it says concerning these images, nor serve them, not to bow down to them. We're not to serve them, which makes the opposite true, which is, thou shalt serve me. Thou shalt serve me. We must always realize the truth of Ezra chapter 5 and verse 11. It says there, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. That's true whether you're lost or saved. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. And all through the Bible, we are called to serve God. And just like in worship, man does not determine what worship consists of. God has already determined that. Man does not determine what true service consists of. God's already told us what is required in true service. And as you read the scriptures and you see what is called, what is required in true worship, you see how few worship, and you see how often when we think we worship, we really don't. And the same is true concerning service to the Lord. When you read the scriptures concerning service to God, you see how very few truly serve the Lord. And we see how ourselves, that our service often is not service at all. Many say they're serving God and are recognized for serving God, but really they're serving themselves. They're just serving themselves. If they really break it down and really begin to examine it, they're serving themselves. So what does the Bible say about serving the Lord? Because this command requires that we do serve God. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? This is a requirement of God. There is to be a fear of the Lord thy God, a reverence for God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God. And how are we to serve? With all thy heart, and with all thy soul. I seriously wonder, and I doubt, that any of us have ever served God with every bit of our heart and every bit of our soul. That means there's nothing, there's no room for anything else. All thy heart, all thy soul. God is to be served, and God is to be served with all of our heart and with all of our soul. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord. There it is again. Preceding service to God is this fear of the Lord. And serve Him. How are we to serve Him? In sincerity and in truth. The word sincerity means unmixed. That is, nothing else is to enter in. Again, it's like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve two masters. People try to do it all the time. They spend their whole life trying to balance two masters or three masters or four masters. And yet the Lord said you cannot serve two masters. So to try to balance that is an effort in futility. Because God says you can't do it. We're to serve Him in sincerity. That is, unmixed means right motives. Self is not involved. To serve Him in truth, again, must be according to God's standards. We're not only to do what God says, we're to do it as He says. We're to do exactly what He says, and we're to do it with a right attitude, a right spirit, and a right motive. That's true service to God. We fall short. 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. Speaking to Solomon, giving him instruction. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, preceding worse service here is a knowing of God, a personal knowledge of God, and serve Him with a perfect heart or an undivided heart, and with a willing mind. So the Lord is to be served with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And then there's this reminder, for the Lord searcheth all hearts. He knows. He knows what is in our heart. He knows why we serve. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. So the Lord is to be served with all our heart, with all our soul. He is to be served in sincerity and in truth. He is to be served with a perfect heart and a willing mind. That is, again, when they were taking the offerings for the tabernacle, it's those who were willing. The Lord was not interested in those who were forced to give, but those who were willing. And it said, who is willing to consecrate themselves this day to the Lord? Again, these are not things that you legislate. There must be a willingness. You make someone do these things, God isn't impressed. And God doesn't even count it as service. It has to be with a willing mind. A willing mind. That is, we serve God because we want to. Because We want to. We want to serve Him. And then, of course, it gets into the question of why do we want to? Well, if you want to for the wrong reasons, then, again, it's not accepted. I want to because it makes me feel good. Well, then you're not really serving God, you're serving yourself. We want to because of who He is. And because, just because of who He is. Not necessarily because he blesses us, and certainly we ought to want to serve Him because He blesses us, but if that's the only reason, is that not self? Because of what God does for me? The truth is, if God didn't do anything for you, you ought to serve Him because of who He is. So this command requires worship. This command requires service to the Lord. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your commands. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to have some understanding of the depth of all Your commandments, Lord, that You would just help us. And we pray, Lord, that You would be with us today as we worship You, Lord. We pray that everything that we say, everything that we do, would be for Your honor and for Your glory. And Lord, for those that are here without You, Lord, we pray today that You would show them their need of Thee. Lord, that You would open their hearts to salvation this day, that You would save their souls. But Lord, that You would draw each one of us closer to Thee this day. Make us, Lord, to be more like Thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.